Okay, we're holding today Maseches Midos Tovshin Samachay Daf Lamed Vav.
Thank you, the Holy Commissioner.
Ubekeren Ma'aravid Romit Hayu Shnei Nikavim Shkemin Shnei Chotamim Dakin. Now remember that the Yesod extended only for one Amma along the 32 Ammas of the line running south to, it had one arm on the southwestern corner, but on the line running south between the east and west, there was no yesod at all, other than that one arm. The problem is that the last arm that juts out over here, right there, they have a picture of the walls?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so right here is the place where you have to do the shvichas shiori hadam, because it's supposed to be the Fnei Hashem. In other words, it says El Pnei HaMizbeach, and it says Fnei Hashem. So the El Pnei HaMizbeach is Dorim, the Fnei Hashem is Meirev. So the only place that it supplies both of those things is right here in the corner. So there were two holes, one which was closer to the Ma'arav, for those things that needed to be, that were done Bifnim. You have the two holes there? Can you see?
I think this.
Okay, I mean, there's other shitas, but here they have the two holes, one next to each other.
This is different, yeah.
The other shitas have one hole closer to the west at the edge, and one hole closer to the north, to the south. Here they have both equally southern, just one is closer to the west. Okay, but I mean, the important thing is that for that dam that was coming from the inside, so there they would put it in the hole that was closest to the west. The dam that was coming from the person who was yored from the kevesh, they would put closer to the kevesh. So even though it was only an amma difference, but that was the defining factor that made the each hole unique. And there was the place Adamim Nitanim Ayesod Ma'araviv Ayesod Romi, because that's where the thought would be placed. And actually, the Yesod Ma'aravi and the Yesod Romi are the same place. So just one is Korov Lador, and one is Korov Lamara. Yordim Bahem, the blood would then go down these holes, Mitarvim Ba'ama, would run out into the flowing chamber, the flowing Ama, which was like an open pipe, that went through the Azar, the Yotzin, the Nachal Kidron. Now the...
Which is which direction, the Nachal Kidron?
The Nachal Kidron is going out towards Ir David, which is out towards the front. No, actually, it's out towards the south from here. It would go out and down. Yeah. Then Lamata Beritzba Botoa Keren, in that place, on the floor, in the same corner, Makoma Yasham Ama Alama, there was a 1x1 Ama removable floor panel. The tabla shall shayish, the tabata takfuaba, and it was covered with marble. It's an opening. There was a ring in that piece of marble, which enabled it to be lifted. Shibo yordim the sheet umenakimoto. You could go down into the sheetim, and remember that there was a machlokas that we had about this, as to whether the Gemar Aveda of the Yayin was the pouring out, or whether you would still be Moel, because once every 70 years or so they would pour this out, and the wine would be so Karush that they would actually then have a Sreif of the Yayin, so that it wasn't the Gemar Aveda. So if you hold, like the Mandi Amar, who says that it was Yoreid there, and that it wasn't Menukavim Adatom, the Shisim. So then this would be going Lakora according to that Mandi Amar. In order to avoid that problem, there are some who try to learn, like the Tveris Yisrael tries to learn here, that this means they would clean out the Dam, if any, in order the Dam would coagulate, so the Nikovim would get clogged. So it ran out. At that point, the water was underground, so they would open up from there to unclog it. But I mean, the Pashtus is that this is the same Ama Alama that we learnt about before in Me'ila, about the Nesachim, and none of the Rishonim bring such an alternative approach. Now, the Kevesh was also to the south of the Mizbeach. It was Lamed Bet, it was Shloshim Vishtaim Amos long, and this means on the ground, not on the top. In other words, not including
not the
diagonal,
distance.
Not the walking distance. However, it didn't really take up, as we're going to see later, 32 Amos, because some of it was notched so that it went over the Yesod and over the Sofek. So on the ground level, it only took up 30 Amos. Because it came up and it would fly over that area. Huh? It was like a, yeah, it was like a puzzle. It was going like that. And it was 16 Amos wide, so in other words, it took up exactly half of the Mizbeach in the middle. It had on the bottom of the western side a window, like not a niche. Sheshama yonotim psulei chatas ha'ov, because the chatas ha'ov was done on that side of the Mizbeach. If anything, if so, it would be put there until it became possible lina, at which point it would be removed and burnt. Echad avnei hakevesh v'echad avnei hamizbeach mibikat beit hakerem v'chofrim lemata mibitula. Because we needed to make sure that the avonim that we have, and all these avonim, talking about the second Beit HaMikdash, where we did not have the use of the Shamir, despite the National Geographic, or what was it? Was it National Geographic?
It was in Nature.
Was it Nature? Oh, that, no. Wasn't Nature. Boz, what was that? Was it Nature? What was the name of that magazine that had the Shamir in it?
That's what you quoted the last time you talked about it, I'm positive.
What's National Geographic?
That's what you said the last time you told us.
It was a larger thing. We used to get another magazine. It was the same size as Scientific American. Really? Okay. In any event, they actually found this stone notching. It turned out to be a snail. And for hundreds of years, nobody knew what these strange markings were in the Negev. They thought it was a geological phenomenon. It turned out to actually be a snail that cuts through stone. And someone wrote in that, you know, you found the Shamir.
Shamir. And then
we discussed this whole thesis. Yeah. When did we do this? In Zvokim recently? Or? Yeah. Okay, but in any event, so the reference over here is not to actually building from the full avanim, but rather, as we saw before, we wanted to take avanim that had never been touched by Barzel, and then we could move it over to our malbein, where we poured a concrete-like thing, and that would become the mizbeach. Those avanim had to be in a place where they were never touched by Barzel. So they went to Bikat Beit Kerem and would dig so deeply that it was clear that it was Eretz Bitula that had never been touched. And there Avanim Shleimot were brought Shlohu Nafalayim Barzel. Shabarzel posel b'negiya u'b'kima b'chol davar. There's two things. Negiya of Barzel would pass in heaven. P'gima of, or probably should say mikol davar. Pigima from anything that would break a stone would be pogame that stone. Barzel would be pogame according to some of the entire Mizbeah. So if Nivgima achat meyam hipsu lavukulan ksherot, when it comes to Pigima, that stone can be replaced. Umaladnimota pa'amayim bashana, twice a year they would use sid to whitewash the Mizbeah. And echat bepesach v'echat b'chag, the Heichal, they whitened Ba'amachat, which was B'Pesach. Rabbi Omer, Kol Erev Shabbos Melabni Mota B'Mapa B'Pnei Hadamim. The Mizbeach was constantly cleaned, not repainted, but was cleaned every Shabbos, because it's to wipe off the dam. Lo Haya Sadim Mota B'Kafish Shel Barzel, a trowel of metal was not used for the process of whitewashing. Shema Yigav Yifsol, because maybe a place where there's a little bit of lime that's missing would touch a stone, it would pass to the Mizbeach. Shabarzel Nivra, this is the, of course, the famous Rashi, Barzon Nivra la Katzer Yamav Shel Adam, HaMizbeach Nivra la Arich Yamav Shel Adam, Eino Bedin Sheyanifa Mikatzer Ala Ma'arich. Source of human life and longevity is the Mizbeach and Kapora. It's not proper that Barzel, which is associated with the development of weaponry, should be used over that which is their source of Adam's Bria.
Rebbe's referring to the Mizbeach, not to the Heichal, when he says Erev Shabbos?
Of course, why would what Domim are on the Heichal? Of course, the Mizbeach.
Okay.
V'tabaot ayu litzvono shel mizbeach, shishas darim shel arba arba, v'yesh amrim arba shel shisha shisha. So right next to the mizbeach, we draw a line. You can see them here in our map. You can see these little tabaot, six rows here of tabaot and four columns. Or some say there's four rows and six columns. And those tabaot were very cleverly designed so that they went through the floor,
like dishes,
but could be twisted so that the open area was right above them. The head of the animal, or according to the Rambam, the feet, were put through the tabat, and then you simply twist it, and it would go back into, because that the open space was now underground, and the head was caught there. So you didn't really have to worry about latching or anything. It was simply a chatzi agol. It's a mostler. And either it was six rows running from west to east, or it was four rows running from west to east, with six then going north-south, two shitas. But in any event, the total was 24. She'aleihem shofatim et hakodashim. Then next to that, after the tabaot, again, unfortunately I didn't bring the picture. We have to bring the pictures. But here you can see the tabaot next to the mizbeach. Here's the tabaot, little rings. You see only half a ring. And next to that, we have the eight tables of the Beit HaMikdash HaChayim and the eight nanasim, the amudim nanasim, that on top had wood. In that wood, there were three hook, different level hook arrangements on each one, which gives a total of 24 areas, 24 hooks that you can hang an animal on for the tzerech of hafshat ator. We also saw that we would wash the parts of the animal that needed washing over the shulchanos, according to most shitas. So that was an area, shebehem tolim, b'shloshes adarim, shebekol achad v'yachad. You had over there three different types of hooks. I think I skipped it. I didn't say the Hebrew. Valav shmona amudim nanasim. So continuing to the north, you had these eight low amudim. Revi'im shel erez agabehen. And then you had these squares of wood that were on top of them in which you could insert the ankoliot shel barzel, which were kvuim in the wood. Shloshas darim ayala kol achad v'achad. Shita is about shlosha, whether it means on three sides. Three different sides, but not the fourth side, which would have forced the person working to have his back to the heichal, which was unacceptable. So on the other three sides, besides on the western side, there were hooks, or others were in different levels of hooks. So there were 24, therefore, besach hakol, sedarim of hooks, shebehem tolinu mafshitim al shulchanot shel shayish, shebein ha'amudim. Hakiyor, haya beinu olam lemizbeach. Now the kior was placed between, this is where we're up to. We've gone through the mizbeach. We saw how it is on the lowest level, how it is on the highest level. We're now on the other side of the mizbeach. First thing we want to know is about the area between the ulam and mizbeach, the general, overall. Overall, that area was kept clear because the opening of the heichal is mul the mizbeach and has to remain unobstructed. So the kior, although it was bein ha'olam v'lamizbeach, the entire area is called bein ha'olam v'lamizbeach, even though it's not literally between the mizbeach. So towards the south, actually the kior was between the kevesh and the ulam, not between the mizbeach. But that whole area is called bein ha'olam v'lamizbeach. Moshuch klapei adon, it depends on the shita where the mizbeach was. Bein ha'olam v'lamizbeach, now continuing the detailed understanding from east to west, the area between the Olam and the Mizbeach was 22 Amos. Remember, so far we had 11 Amos of the Ezras Yisrael, 11 Amos of the Ezras Kayanim, 32 Amos of the Yisrael, and now we're moving on an additional 22 Amos from the edge of the Mizbeach on the western side till the actual Ulam. The Ulam was the porch that you could see on your maps extending to the northern and southern side of the Heichal. In other words, it went towards the east, but it continued on beyond the actual building of the Heichal itself, so that the Heichal had a T-shape, looking at it from the western side, or a lion shape, which is what it's supposed to represent. It's supposed to represent the Ariel.
Like the legs?
And the lion is broad in front, tapers to the back. And so that gives you the lion
like
sense.
The
yeah. yeah.
Like the
and that area of 22 Amos had within it 12 steps that would go up to the entry of the Ulam. The Ulam was closed except for that very large entrance hall of 20 Amos, 40 Amos high, which was a lot more impressive. But and those 12 Malas, we already saw that each Mala, how it was, the stairs were arranged normally. Was a half an amah high. But here it was arranged in sections. So you had Shtemisrei Ma'alot, Rum Ma'ala Chatzi Amah, as we said earlier. Shilcha, here, was an amah, and we said earlier that all the stairs were this way, except we had the unique situation of the stairs of the Ulam. And here's what's unique about it. Each one was a Chatzi Amah high, an amah between the edge of the stair and then the beginning of the next stair. And what you would have was one stair, meaning an amah, another amah, and then a landing. So you had a rovad, which was a landing of three amahs. So you had an amah, chatzi amah high, one amah. Chatzi amah high, one amah. Chatzi amah high, three amahs. Then again, you had once again, this went on again, amah, amah, verovad. So this went on, each time we had these stairs, we had three stairs, and each one was Chatzi Amah high, one Amah in except for the upper one, which was Rovat Shalesh. The Elyona, the upper landing, was longer, and it was Amah, Amah Verovat Arba, which left you only one Amah between the end of the Mizbeach and the bottom of the stair.
Not like this map.
I don't know what this map is trying to do.
In between here and here, that's very close.
It's yeah. not proportional.
Very close.
No, it's very close. Rabbi Yonah was Amma Amma Varovit Chamisha. In other words, if you add up, we have a total of 22 Ammas, right? Okay, we have now Amma Amma Shalosh. Amma Amma Shalosh. Okay, how much is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we have Amma, Amma, Shalosh, and on the top we have now after these 12 we have a rovat of Chamesh, not of Shalosh. So these 12 stairs all together, if each one is covering an Amma, that's already six Ammas. Then we have two rovs in that have an additional two Ammas, right?
Right.
I mean that's 12 Ammas. We have two. Let's take each stair as an amah, given. We have 12 stairs, 12 amahs. We then have the two lower rovs and add two amahs apiece, right? Okay, so we're at 16. Then we have five on top.
21.
Right, so we have to add now an additional four here. We had 12, the additional one, we took one amah of it. And the entire area was only 22 amahs. So we basically have no room, Gimad, between the Mizbeach and the stairs, in the area where we have the stairs. I don't know what that is.
And the Mizbeach is obviously much higher than this, right? How much
of course.
I mean, so how did you see when you were doing the part?
That Gemara Yuma goes through exactly how that works.
Would this block it?
No, because if you take into consideration the additional height, it is blocked. which is why he has to look over. He can't look under.
Right, right.
That's the raya the Gemara brings is to the placement of the Mizbeach. Because if the Mizbeach started from the middle,
you could still see
so then you could see on that edge, on you should side. Be able to see through.
Yeah,
that's exactly part of the Gemara's raya and yuma as to why we're saying that the Mizbeach covered the entire area of the Pisgah Shalechah. What Scott is raising is the issue of why the Kohen couldn't see through the Heichal if the Mizbeach wasn't in the way. The fact is here that the Mizbeach is in the way. You have anything there?
The art school has one. But see the one we can see doesn't somebody else.
No, I'm so sorry. I left the the book. All right. So these Yud Beit Ma'alot then would get us basically all the way up to the Mizbeach. We're walking up at the same time that we're walking in because we couldn't stumble over those stairs. And we're now at the Ulam, the Pesach of the Ulam. Now the Pesach of the Ulam was Arbaim Amot in Gova and Shlo Etzrim Amot Rochav. Not as it's written over here, obviously. V'chamesh Maltaraot Shel Milah Hayu Al Gabav Atachtona odefet al hapetach ama mizeh v'yama mizeh shilamala mimena odefet alea ama mizeh v'yama mizeh nimtzeta el yonah shloshim ama. Now do you have any pictures in it? That's a shame because that's really pretty. Nope, there's none of your maps show the Pisgah Shel Ulam.
What about that book right there?
Have a look.
Do you want to try the house again and ask Ateret? Maybe she would run over with the book that's right next to where my farm are.
I don't mind running.
Huh?
I don't mind running.
Well, you'll miss. You don't mind running?
Not
if I haven't eaten it. What's on the other side of that? The pictures on the other side are not useful.
Not going in that direction. This is all Shire.
All right. Okay, so if you don't mind, well, it'll be a big favor to everybody. You don't want to try calling?
I'm trying, but they're not answering.
Okay.
Where is it?
It's right next to where the lamp was. The lamp that fell.
It's a Kahati Mishnayas.
Well, this is showing from Har Zeitzim across the Shari Rachamim and Dome of the Rock today.
Okay, so what we had over here was basically a decorative erez that was put above the Pisgah Shel Ulam that extended beyond the Pisgah Shel Ulam. So the Pisgah Shel Ulam, as we said, was 20 amas wide. And over here, you had this Mila's type of eretz, in which you had these extensions that would come out as decoration and would appear, each one was a little bit higher than one beneath it, so that the doorway looked as if it was extending upwards and outwards, like wings. That would bring it up. Beams. And these beams were at the top were a total of 30 amas. Because each one was an ama, it was extended an ama on both sides, so the upper one, the fifth one, was already 30 amas wide.
You call each of those things, you call them eres?
Yeah, amal trot, they call them. You'll see in the picture, it's a very beautiful effect. So each one was separated by one row of the avanim of the wall above the doorway to the ulam. Uklunasot shel erez. Well, it's not correct. Uklunasot shel erez ayu kfuim mikotlo shel echal likotlo shel ulam. Now there were also support beams that stretched from the wall of the actual Heichal. The wall of the Heichal was immensely thick, as we're going to learn with all there were actually rooms within the wall, and was very strong. On the other hand, the Ulam was built really just as a porch, but it was very high, and in order to prevent any buckling of the wall, Kedei Shelo Yeva'et, there were supporting beams that stretched between the Heichal and the wall, the outside wall of the Ulam. V'shar Sharaot shel zahav, hayu kvuim b'tikrot ha'olam. That is a very strange thing. The entryway into the Heichal had atarot. What exactly these atarot are is a machlokes, but they're referred to actually in Zechariah. They were given by certain people that we'll talk about, and according to some, they were actual windows that were made in the shape of a crown. According to others, they were real crowns, because it comes together with the story of putting a crown on Yoshua Kohen Agadol, which is Mashma, that there was a real crown. So these were crowns that were set as a symbol of the Malchus Shamayim, or the various elements of Malchus that were there, the crowns that were inside of the Echal, which was the crown of Torah, and we had the crown of the of Malchus, and the which was the Shulchan, and the crown of Kahuna, which was the Mizbeach of Zahav. So we had actual crowns there. And in order that those crowns should be open to being checked, they had these golden chains that Pirchei Kuhuna could be Olim Veroim et Atarot. Now the Rishonim speak out that the Aliyah to the Atarot, it's not possible to learn that it was only for aesthetic purposes, because then why would, we're not supposed to be Nene on a personal level, even though it's not Nisr Me'ila, Rosh Tainas, it's still Osir. Because even if, let's say we're sending workmen in to work in the Heichal, it's very important that we had a closed elevator, and the elevator would go up and down so that they could work on the walls without being able to see outside of the elevator. They would never be... Kedei shelo yizono einehem min ha'eron. There's no iser, there's no me'ila, because you're not actually physically being there. But nonetheless, you see that we attempt to maintain a level of tzniut. So why would we dafka provide them a way to climb up and to peak? Therefore, he tells us that this was part of the maintenance, so that in order to be able to get up there to make sure there was no dirt and that everything was fine, they had the shar shara'ot. Boy, that was fast. Thank you. Okay. So they had shar shara'ot there that enabled the kohanim to climb up. Since you had to be young to do that, you had the Pirchei Kuhuna doing that. Now, here you're getting back, here we have, thank you very much, Bob. Here is a picture of the other Shita, the one that appears in the map.
That's the third Shita.
Well, it's supposed to be, so I didn't see what that is.
This is one after the other. That's that.
Okay, fine. So
they had side by side.
This yeah. Shita makes sense, though. What doesn't make sense is the 12-foot Amma. That I've never seen. They have the this is supposed
artistic
to,
license.
Yes, this is supposed to be the Amma that's on the floor, which actually ends up being a little bit exaggerated. But here are the two holes for the dam. You weren't here for that. And then the Kludasot. Oh, don't tell me they don't have a pretty picture of the Kludasot.
They do.
Where?
I don't know. I'm trying to think that she does have one. I'll see them.
No, that's disappointing. And on this, on the overall picture, they don't.
This one has a.
No, the picture one. Does the picture one have anything? Can you see anything? This is a very.
It's like a big curtain on
this.
Well, you could see something. In other words, you could see at least the decorative effects on top of the Pischa Shavulam. Of this thing, although it's wrong again artistically, because it doesn't extend outwards with the Batman symbol, you know. It's supposed to have that flying light kind of. It extends the lower one to the higher one, extend this way like a V. It's supposed to be a V effect.
Yeah, yeah, a computer thing.
Yeah, but this is like
this is
like
a couple of them, though.
Yeah, they have this horrible for computer. Well, that's nice. Good, great. Here we go. This is good. There you go. Kluna saw it properly arranged. The crowns in the windows for the other two shitas. What this is doing, you have no idea, unless that's supposed to be the chains that they climb up on.
The fruit,
right? No, this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is, but all right.
The young Kohanim would climb up there and do what?
He does that a lot.
Check it out. Check the roof. Check the Geffen. Check the crown.
Climb up on the
chain.
These in the windows. These Geffenim and stuff. That's also an ornament.
Okay, and what's more. Now these atarot appear in Zechariah. Shenemar va'atarot tiyeh lechelem letovia leyadaya lechein ben tzvanya lezikaron be'echal Hashem. So apparently they had been donated and it's supposed to be a zikaron for them. If it wouldn't have been for the rush, I would have said that the raya from the pasuk is that there was a chiyuv that it should remain the zikaron for some reason. Therefore, the Pirkei Kohanim had to go up in order to be aware of it. But, I mean, the Rosh doesn't like that shot.
What did the Rosh say? What did she do with Rosh again?
That it's maintenance, for maintenance purposes. The Geffen shel Zahav haita omedet al pitcho shel Heichal umdula al gadi kunasot. Now, here's the famous Geffen.
This really shows the Mizbeach close to the entrance, so you're going to fall off from the Mizbeach into the opening.
Yeah, I think they're trying to get a strange angle. By the way, here is a nice computerized tashir of how close the stairs get to the Mizbeach. Mm-hmm. That is correct. This is off the wall. I don't know where that's coming from, but
what's off
here,
the
map is all messed up.
That'll show.
There's the
too much space.
Here the stairs come all the way up within one arm of the Mizbeach.
This map is also wrong.
Leave very, very little room.
Here's a
you have an actual picture standing next to it. I guess not. I thought everybody had them, so I let them drop out of my gemara. The maps. Okay, I guess they don't have a close-up of that, but I've sworn that they... Okay, but you can also see the Geffen here. The Geffen is on top of Kunasot. There's wood here on the top.
Is that supposed to hold someone's weight? What's Kunasot? No.
Sure, what are you doing? What, are you kidding? It's very heavy. But I mean, it wasn't made to hold weight. These are the support beams anyway, there. Mm-hmm. And then this is to hold the weight of the gold, mm-hmm. my people. And as we learned this before, this is the Shalosh Meos Kohanim that we're getting to the Guzma. Those are the Kohanim. And as we learned, we had all of this earlier, that Geffen Shel Zahav Haita Omedet Al Pitcho Shel Heichal, Mudla Gebi Kohanasot, Kol Mishu Mitnadev Alav Gargiro Eshkol. If you wanted to donate gold, you could donate it in the form of a leaf or of a... of an entire, for that matter, an entire cluster of grape or a single grape, and bring it and put it onto this Geffen. Om Reb Eliezer Barabik Zadok, Ma'aseh Haya, V'nimnu Ala Shalosh Meya Iskanim Lefanu Yisa. We once needed 300 crowns to get all the gold off, and as we said, that was a Guzma.
Only a Kohen could put it.
Yeah, Kohen. Yisrael had no Gisha to this area. And as we said, the only reason why we say it's a Guzma is because it couldn't possibly support
the
weight of that much gold, this Kunasot. Hadron Alok HaMizbeach
Ha'yam. Believe never. Come to the Haile Kuperek.
Pitcho Shel Heichal. Now we're inside of the Ulam. We are now facing the Heichal. The Heichal was only 20 amos high, the doorway, as opposed to the 40 amos of the Ulam, which, you remember, there was a parochet in front of the doorway of the Ulam for Tzniut. And the Pitcho Shel Heichal was 20 amos high and 10 amos wide. The Arba Dlatot Ayulo, Shtayim Bifnim, Shtayim Bachutz. Now, there were two sets of doors, total of four doors, that covered the entranceway. That means that it was so thick. There were doors on the outside part of the entrance, another set of doors on the inside part of the entrance. As we'll see, the entrance itself, the wall, is six amos thick. So the wall itself is about 10 feet long or so. So it's quite a long entranceway, and it was protected on both sides by dlatot. Shenemar shtayim dlatot laheichal v'lakodesh. So as we're looking at the heichal as the outside door, and lakodesh facing closer into the kodesh was another set of two dlatot.
Do we mean like this? Here are two sets, or one set here and one set here?
No, here. This one and that two.
So like double doors, right?
Just like it is here.
Just like this.
And this prophet was usually open or closed? this red prophet, that's the prophet.
Was usually closed, because we saw before that they would open it to let the Kohen Gadol out if he wanted to be Mishtachava, when we heard the Me'il. So clearly it was generally kept closed, and then the honor of the Kohen, we pulled it aside. I mean, obviously there were times when it was Bedavka pulled aside. It says the Farish that it was, in order to show the Lechem Aponim, they would actually open the doors and take the broker to side and let everybody see the Lechem Aponim.
What was happening?
It was calm.
Six amos thick.
And for the power of Duma, they would open it too?
For him to be able to see Pischa Shalecha. Yeah, of course. So, now these doors opened in different directions. The outside doors, Achitzonot Niftachot Toch HaPetach, the outside doors opened in so that when you walked in, you were walking along the doors. And the inside doors, apnimiyot niftachot l'toch habayit, lechatzot achar hadlatot. Interestingly enough, the doors basically covered the entire eastern wall. Because the Pesach itself was 10 amos wide, leaving you 5 amas on either side, because the entire area was 20 amas wide inside. That means that you had 5 amas on either side. When the doors would open, the inside doors would open and would bend inside into the building, each one was a 5 ama door and would cover till the end of the wall. And the doors being gold covered meant that you didn't have to cover the wall, because the gold of the door covered the wall.
When it was open.
When it was open.
So this is
so anytime somebody entered into the heichal, they saw the entire heichal covered with gold because the doors were open. But if they would sneak in when the doors were closed, they would see that the area behind the doors actually was not gold covered. And this leads to some very serious issues, la halacha, lagabi the dinim of Yidur Mitzvah. Because the question is Yidur Mitzvah, is that objective or is it subjective? If it's subjective, and this is very, very nergeah, for instance, is the nicer part. But this came up as a shayla, famous shayla, which the Rambam talks about. If the nicer part of a Sefer Torah cover, so you have part of it that's made out of silk and part of it that's made out of a port, which side goes towards the Sefer Torah? The nicer side. I mean, the Hidur Mitzvah, if you don't see it, then where's the Hidur? Or is the Hidur an objective reality that it would be beautiful if it was seen? The famous Raya of the Gra is from this Mishnah. It says, you see over here, they did not put gold on the wall. They waited till the door was open, and the door covered the wall.
What do you mean?
But so, what about the Hidur Mitzvah when the door's closed? Why don't you cover up the wall? It. Must be there's no din of Hidur Mitzvah that isn't visible. And it's a subjective thing. Unbelievable, Ryan.
Why didn't they also say that the door's a Nibinar, which one of the reasons given was is because it had such a shiny light.
That was visible. Now, what does that prove? Doesn't prove anything. Everybody sees
it. It looks it, but it still is common.
You're introducing it. You must not understand what's going on. Sure. We're talking about inside the heichal. Nobody saw.
Right. Okay.
The only time you saw it was when you opened the door.
Okay.
So therefore, once you're inside, you don't need covering behind the door.
Okay.
So the question is, why don't you need covering when you're not inside? if it's Hidur Mitzvah, it's objective. So the Gemara says, you see from here that you don't need Hidur Mitzvah. So Yitain is on the contrary. It means that the nice side should face outside, not towards the Sefer. The Sefer doesn't appreciate the Hidur, the people appreciate the Hidur.
All the things
it's a major machlokas in the Rishonim that is actually brought to Gelah Locha because of that question.
All the things covering the Sifra.
Isn't that interesting?
You have to be able to see.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there are approaches that try to get around the Raya of the Gra. I mean, you know, there's some cheapo excuse that we saw that they didn't have money and that they were just, oh, it was really basically a question of determining what is worthwhile doing first.
But we say all the time.
But we see that it took them time until they did. Anyway, but I think there is a solution. I think there is a solution even to that. Because it's interesting that remember the gold cover that was done in terms of the Mishkan. When it says gold cover, it didn't mean that it was lined with gold. It meant that there was an actual piece that was slid over so that you had an additional piece of gold that covered over the poles that would go to the Mishkan and so on, right?
Sleeves.
It was sleeves. Mm-hmm. It was real sleeves. And so the shaila is like this. The relationship of the door to the Heichal, that could be the question over here. If the door is supposed to be built in such a way that it becomes part of the binyan when it's open, because otherwise what's the significance of this? The significance is that the door is not, when it's open, something that is just in the way, but rather the door becomes the tzipui of the Eichel. That's what the mission is trying to say. So if that's the point, that has nothing to do with the Yidur Mitzvah. If I would have had gold there before, then the door wouldn't be a tzipui. So what's it doing there? What am I throwing something in there? What, just because I don't have where to put the door? Ella, like this, it's a beautiful idea, because the whole thing is constructed with a tzipui, and that's the way that the tzipui works. And it serves both as a door and as a thing. I think maybe that's a way out of the riot. Okay, in any event, so getting back to this question, so the door there would open to the inside of the bayit. Everything was covered with gold except for the area behind the doors. Rabbi Yehuda says you completely misunderstand the relationship of the doors to the bayit. Actually, the doors were folding doors. And each one of these doors consisted of a sleeve, two sleeves that were connected by a rod that would allow them to double over. So that when you opened up the two doors, you actually folded four doors. And each one of the doors only took up 2.5 amos.
So they put met in the middle.
So both of them were folded into the Pesach. Mm-hmm. 2.5 amos, they met right in the middle and covered over the entire inside. But nothing was put into the Eichal. Do you get the picture? This is the door.
So they opened
the out.
Or this is the door. You open it like this. And the opposite, the same thing. Right? So you had two of these. When they were both open, you had two doors. So then when you opened the door, this one slid, and this one slid into place, and then the other side had the two doors sliding into place like that. So that way, you had a very efficient usage of the space.
So it would cover not here, it would cover in here?
Cover in here.
Right. And so it would be 2.5 and 2. So this one would open in, and that one would open out.
That's right.
And it would meet.
Right. And it would meet.
So that's what this diagram.
I didn't see this diagram has something.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
And I'll tell you why, because the hinges cannot open out inside. The way the hinges are here, it has to open in. Because it would be blocked by the corner.
Well, it might have one of these, you know, corner hinges. Remember, the hinges they used then were built into the ground and in the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
So not on the door.
Yeah.
No, but well, the way it looks, even there's a corner of the stone in the black.
All right. Fine. Okay. All right, so it's very good. He says the point is that this is a pasuk, and not to understand this is not to understand the pasuk, because what it says, it's clear that kamin itzrimita hayu, they were like a folding unit V'nikpalot l'achoreihem, both of them, would bend over behind themselves. So elu shnei amot u'mefta, elu shnei amot u'mefta. Then you had a chatzi ama for the mezuzah from the front end, and a chatzi ama mezuzah, the back end, and you look at the pasuk in Yecheskel. It says, ushtayim dlatot lidlatot, shtayim musabot dlatot, shtayim ledelet achat. Each delet had two musabot, two moving pieces, so it was itself constructed of two dlatot. Ushtlei dlatot v'acheret, there were two pieces that would bend for the other door, which means that each one of these door units were four doors that would bend into two pieces when they were folded up. Ushnei pishpashin hayolo l'sha'ar hagadol. And now we already know about this sha'ar. We had two gateways on either side of the sha'ar hagadol, echad b'tzafon v'echad b'darom, and we spoke about this in Tamid. Shebedarom lo nichlas adam bo miolam. Nobody ever walked into that southern door and was never opened. Miolam. Where's my, does it show?
Here?
Yes, here. Right here.
This right here.
Yeah, on the map, it's the white space to the south and the north
the one
of the entryway to the Eichel. What number is it? It's not given a number for some reason.
It has like double T there or something.
What is it? Anyway, it's to either side of the Pesach Eichel. See the white space? That is an entryway.
It's where?
Right here. Here's on the big map. Right here, there's an entryway that goes into a top.
Yeah.
And right here, there's an entryway that goes into
it's
a top.
Okay.
Oh, it is numbered?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
And can you see anything here or no? No, here it's closed. See if you can see anything here. Also not. Now the ta structure is extremely complex. You can see a little bit over here, where there were three. Basically, the Beit HaMikdash consisted of three stories worth of rooms that surrounded, built into these walls. Each one is called a ta. I spoke about this week. Relating to the concept of a cell, which we, and this particular ta, according to this Man Yomar, we'll see that there's a machlokas. This particular ta had an additional gateways. In other words, one went directly to the outside of the ulam, which is what we're talking about, the pishpish, to get into the ta. Then there was an additional opening from the ta into the area of the hechel behind the door. As you see, the other white spot. That goes from the ta into the heichal itself.
Right into the ta. Yeah,
because
right.
Basically, as we saw, the kohen is going to go through the pishpish, into the ta, out of the ta into the heichal, and then open the door from behind. So that's the sheet of the Tanna Kamma.
Which one he can't go through? The one in
the
south?
The one on the south.
Okay.
The one that's facing his left when he's walking into the door. And then he goes in. So Vayomer Elai Hashem, Ashar Azes Aguri Yeh Lo Yipateach, VeIsh Lo Yavobo Ke Hashem Lo Ke Yisrael Babo Vayas Agur. Natalat Amavteach. So he would take now the key, open the pishpesh, go into the ta. From the ta, he went into the heichal. Rabbi Yehuda says no. And this sheet of Rabbi Yehuda is not shown on the map that we have, but Rabbi Yehuda says the pishpesh led directly. He turned then to his left and walked in an opening that is not shown here, that opened in the space between the two doors. So he found himself between the outer and inner door of the Heichal. So betoch ovyo shel kotel hayah mahalek, he actually walked through the thickness of the wall and came out. Achshimtzo omed bein shnei hasha'arim. He found himself standing between the two sets of doors. Upatachat achitzonot mibifnim, he then would open the outer doors from inside, behind them, before opening the inner doors. Vetapnimiyot mibachutz, he would then turn, face the inner doors, and open them. The most exciting part of the Masechta.
So stay.
terrible.
We'll go all night. Bye, guys.
I'm just heartbreaking.
Let me get one on the train.